Thank you very much, and thank you too for being so accommodating and coming in here. You know, it never fails. You think you have everything in order, and then, you know, get to church. It's funny, when we guys were pulling in, Charlie said, "Are you sure they'll have PowerPoint here?" And I said, "Well, if they don't, it'll be the first time in years that we've gone to a church where there's no PowerPoint." So they've got air conditioning. We don't have air conditioning in Jerseyville. So for sure they'll have PowerPoint. And then we walked in and thought, no PowerPoint. So what do we do? And, you know, thinking outside the box and talking to everyone, it was, I mean, yes, we could do, we have PowerPoint in here, but the music's in there. So, well, why can we move halfway through? So here we are. We're here and we're all together, and thank you for being flexible and for being willing to do that for us. It's a pleasure to be able to be here. We do know the Venema family, and so it's always nice when you see familiar faces in the crowd, and they were with us. Our church is Jerseyville, and we bring greetings from Jerseyville Baptist as well. But yeah, we met the Venemas there years ago, and actually there. Daughter Rebecca is married to Jesper Noor, who is a man from Denmark that Shelley and I have known for years, because he was involved with, indirectly, with the Galcom ministry in Greenland when he was working there before he came to Canada and met Rebecca and eventually got married. And now both of them, Rebecca's volunteering at Galcom and Jesper is actually working, helping us with new radio that we have designed, and we'll talk about a bit later on. We're also friends of Dwight and Elaine Holditch, and so it's nice to be able to see where they meet and where they worship. So, yeah, thank you once again, and we already feel blessed. Thank you for the ladies leading, playing their instruments this morning, and for the music that was picked. You know, it's amazing, wherever you go, you run into new believers and people holding the word of God highly and worshiping together. And God has his remnant. God has his people all over. This is his world, right? Amen. It is his world. Even though we may be led astray by the media and by other things telling us that it's a world that's not his, but it's still his world, whether we recognize it or not. It's his world. Thank you for that. So, yeah, we're here this morning from Galcom. Galcom is the ministry that we represent. And I'm just going to turn it over to Shelley for a second to talk a little bit about how Galcom came into existence.
So, Galcom was founded by three men, Harold Kent, Ken Crowell, and Alan McGraw. McGraw was a Canadian from Hamilton, Ontario. And Ken Crowell was a tent meeting missionary in Israel. Can everyone hear me? Should I speak louder? Are you good? Okay.
You can speak louder.
And a little louder? Okay. And Harold Kent is from the United States. He was a very wealthy businessman who helped to get Galcom off the ground. And so Harold Kent and all three men, God spoke to each one of their hearts and said, you need to make a solar-powered, this is the newest version, there's an older version, but a solar-powered fixed-tune radio that could go around the world to receive Christian broadcasting. So each of them in their individual ministries felt that God was calling them to do that, but they didn't know each other. And so Harold Kent was at National Religious Broadcaster in the United States, and Ken Crowell was there as well, and Ken Crowell was there from Israel. And he and they got talking to each other, and they said, and I just went one slide ahead, sorry. And they met each other, and they were talking, and they said about how God had spoken to their hearts about that. And then one of them said, Ken Crowell said, you know, I was in an airplane, and when I was in this airplane, I saw a little pamphlet in the seat pocket. Imagine that, in the seat pocket that I was in. And it talks about this guy up in Canada, whose name is Alan Quarrell, and that guy up in Canada is doing the same thing. We need to contact him. So the three of them, I guess, Alan McGraw must have been traveling. Does anyone know Alan McGraw? It seems like everybody does. Jenny Lou said she does. They were at his retirement party not very long ago. But anyway, so the three of, imagine that he had left a pamphlet in the backseat of an airplane. And so then Cantrell found it, and that's what brought us
sat in the same seat, obviously.
Yeah.
And Alan had people being to Israel, and Ken was on his way from Israel to the U.S. So the odds of that track being, or that pamphlet being, then not being cleaned out, first of all, secondly, being in the same seat, and thirdly, being on the right plane, were a God thing, right? So
that's how Galcom was founded. Galcom, if you're wondering what the word Galcom means, it's kind of an unusual name, not to us because we're familiar with it, but if you haven't heard it before, Gal is the Hebrew word for commit, and so everything at Galcom, we commit your way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. That's a Galcom verse. And also Gal is like the waves, it's the waves of a sea, and you think about the Sea of Galilee, it's the waves that go up and down and up and down, and so the waves. And so Gal is, that's also part of it, but also radio waves, you think of radio waves that go like this, and so it all kind of ties together, and that's where the Gal comes from, and obviously communication comes from the convert. And our verse, which I just said, commit your way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He'll bring it to pass. And one of the things that we do at Galcom every day is from 8:30 to 9 o'clock we pray, and we pray for God to commit, pray for each other, pray for the work around the world, and we just pray every day and commit our work to the Lord, and we know that it's Him that does the work.
So the next thing, people always ask, well, what do we do? And maybe that's the thought that you have in your mind this morning, you know, Galcom, maybe you've not heard of the ministry before. What do we do? Well, Shelley said one of the things that we do is we produce a radio, a solar-powered fixed-tune radio. And why is it solar-powered? Because back in the day, it was realized that there were a lot of people that needed to hear the Word of God, but they didn't have access even to a radio. And if they'd had access to a radio, they probably couldn't have afforded, maybe didn't have electricity in their homes, didn't have money for batteries. If you choose between feeding your radio a battery or feeding your kids food, you're obviously, I hope you would choose to feed your kids food. And so the idea was, how can we get the Word of God? How can we get light into these areas? The radio stations might already be there, but if it's like me talking right now, if I'm talking but no one in here has an ear to be able to pick up what I'm saying, turn it into something that makes sense, and then understand what I'm saying, It wouldn't. I'd be wasting my time. So the ear, it represents the radio, and so the solar powered fixed tune radio. Fixed tune, by the way, meaning it just picks up one radio station. We don't want it to be able to pick up 100 different stations and people just choose whichever they want to. But it's very purposeful in the fact that we want people to listen to the Word of God on a local Christian radio station. And to that point, too, these are all made by donations. So if you've donated your money so someone can listen to the Word of God on a radio that you're paying for, you want to make sure that they're listening to that station and not to one that you didn't intend. So that is the reason for solar-powered fixed-tune radio. We also make solar-powered, or solar-powered audio Bibles. And these audio Bibles are good in areas where there may not be a Christian radio station that can be received. But the point is, you still want to be able to get the Word of God into the hearts of people. Most people in the areas where we are working do not know how to read and write. There's a very, very high illiteracy rate. And so to give them a written word would be good if you could read it. And maybe that might be preferable, but if you can't read, then giving a Bible that can be listened to, most of us can listen. A lot of blind people also, even in Canada, really like these devices because you can hear the Word of God.
We worked with the Bible translators for 15 years before we joined Galcom. And so to us, we saw all the translations getting done and all of those things, and just the power of the Lord and being able to, how this kind of one of the reasons that we transferred over to Galcom, it's like, well, if the audio Bible is there, then that is the actual work that was being done, and now it's being put in audio format.
So another thing that we do, and I kind of alluded to this, sometimes there is not a Christian radio station in the area where people need to hear. So if it's possible, we try to come alongside others, partnering with others, to put in Christian radio stations around the world. So we don't run the radio stations. We don't provide the content that's on the radio stations. We supply the equipment. So that being said, we always have to make sure that we're working with people that hold the Word of God rightly. We vet everyone to make sure that we're not giving it to prosperity gospel people or to people that are not keeping the Word of God and not true to the Word of God, preaching false doctrines. But we partner with them. So Galcom does not own any radio stations. We don't run radio stations. But it's like giving a tractor to somebody who's farming in a, you know, by hand still. And there are people that still farm by hand. If you can give them a tractor, they're able to do a whole lot more work. And that's the idea behind it. So this station that you're looking at, we just installed actually this year in Liberia. Mm. And what else do? We assist radio stations which are running. This one happens to be in Albania. And we were able to help them to, they had nowhere to, their office was located in the top floor of an apartment building, and it was very awkward. So we were able to help them to find a piece of property and to renovate it. And that's now the office building for Radio Emmanuel. And that's an interesting story too. I probably shouldn't take too much time, but after communism fell in Albania, which was the first country in the world that proclaimed itself as being an atheist country, there was a Christian man, and you know, the communists had just about wiped out any kind of religion. Islam was big there, Christianity, and everything was just about wiped out. But there were still people faithful to the Word of God, and one man came to us and said, "Can you help us to put in a Christian radio station there?" So we did. We came alongside. Then he passed away. He was 55 years of age, passed away suddenly, and left his 19-year-old son to run the station. And he knew nothing about running stations. So we've been able to come alongside him, mentor him, help him. Now there are currently three stations that they're running. One of them, we went and altered the angle of the antenna, so it was actually able to broadcast into Greece next door. And in Greece, they call themselves a Christian country, in the sense that even Canada is not considered Christian. If you look at what Canada is, we don't call ourselves a Christian country any longer. But Greece calls themselves Christian in the sense that 98% of the people who live there will be Greek Orthodox. But it's prohibited to have an evangelical Christian radio station in Greece. But here we were, so we altered the antennas, and within 14 days we heard of, I think it was 6 or 8 believers, people that had come to Christ through hearing the Word of God over the radio waves.
My favorite part of that story is that in the basement of this building right there, there's all sorts of communist literature, communist names and addresses of people, all kinds of things from the communist era. It was all in the basement of that building. When the men went over, I was one of them. When they went over to help to do the renovation, they pulled all that stuff out, and now that very building is proclaiming the Word of God. So, awesome too. Well, that's our building. This is our building in Hamilton. It's over on 115 Nepo Road. And all of the radios are made by volunteers who come in. Some pictures of some volunteers here. So you're always welcome to come in and volunteer one Christmas. Let me just throw in a plug for what the Tenements did. One Christmas, we were sending out some radios to South Sudan. Maybe they feel embarrassed to say it, but I'll say it anyway. And they came in, and their family finished off this order that was huge, and they worked like crazy.
And it had to be done before the end of the year, so it's between Christmas and New Year's, right? You guys came in.
It was pretty remarkable work. Anyway, they just on the side. all the radios are made by. If you're interested in coming in and volunteering, you're more than welcome.
So, province of Quebec, for many years we've been burdened for the province of Quebec. For those of you that don't know, it's considered to be an unreached people group here within Canada, in the sense that less than 2% of the people in Quebec would claim to know Christ in a personal way. And, of course, it was a very religious province up until probably 20 or 30, 40 years ago. Religious meaning that the Roman Catholic Church was the main religion, Catholicism. And there was this truth, of course, in that, but it's not 100% what the Bible is teaching. And, in fact, missionaries from here went into Quebec in the 50s and were jailed for taking the gospel into Quebec at that time. So it's been on our hearts, and now it's become humanistic. It's gone from religion to humanism and not stopped to see anything else on the way. So there's a lot of people really hungering for the Word of God. For probably 10 or 15 years, we've had a burden to put in Christian radio. And probably about 5 or 6 years ago, we began applying for licenses, and it got turned down, got turned down, got turned down. So now, working alongside Aujourd'hui le Soir and others, we're putting in radio stations in Quebec. Last year, I was able to go, and you can see me on the tower there, putting up the tower next to a little church that was donated. It used to be a little Baptist church, and the numbers had dwindled, and they donated it to the ministry, so we were able to put the radio studio and everything in there. Also, we've been working a lot. It's amazing, with COVID, our vision had changed. You know, we're always focusing overseas, even though Quebec was on the radar. It was put aside because there was always bigger things calling overseas, but then with the COVID and everything, we had to start focusing inside the country because our travel was so limited. And so we had a relationship with a man from Nations One for Christ named Dan Hatfield. You can see here he is in his small plane. And he'd been working with First Nations people across Canada over the last 15, 20 years, developing relationships. And it's all of a sudden, it's just mushroomed. And villages, and like reservations where the Word of God has gone in now are changing. The alcoholism has gone down, the abuse, the suicide rates are going down. So even the tribe leaders of non-believing leaders are now asking that Christian radio stations be installed, because they say, hey, we don't necessarily believe, but we can see the impact that the radio station is having. So last year, or 2 years ago, this is we had a crew, that's not a cross that we're making there, even though it looks like one. It's, you can see it up the tower. We use it for a gin pole, so when you put up a tower and you put 1 8-foot section on, and then you clip the gin pole to the top of that section, and then there's a pulley on the top, and you'll hoist up the next section, then you keep moving it up and up the tower. So that's what we were able to do, working with different Christian radio stations. That one, like I said, was in Alexis Creek, BC. We've done others in Dryden, Ontario, and just outside of Edmonton, the Squawkish group up there. And right now we're working on one in Round Lake, Great Trout Lake, Norway House, Manitoba, one in Saskatchewan, and a couple more slated to go in northern BC. One or two in northern Quebec, Waskaganish, Quebec is probably the next one that we'll be doing. So you can keep us in your prayers that God would open doors to be able to get out there and to do the work. Do you want to talk about this one?
Out in June, I went down to Vincent Guerrero to put in a radio station. And this man, if you look at the picture there, that's actually where he had his radio in an old refrigerator radio station, so he actually kind of really needed a new radio station. And that's how he was running his radio station. It's quite amazing to think he was faithful to the Word of God and faithful to continue doing his work, even though he didn't have the equipment, he didn't have all of the things that maybe we have here, but he just kept doing God's work, and that's pretty amazing. And that's him and his wife. And there was a team, and the team came from two men in the middle are from California. Bob Gaines, he was at a place, Calvary Chapel conference that Tim Whitehead, our director, was there, and Bob was walking around the hall of the booths thinking, how in the world am I going to be involved in missions? He felt God had called him to missions, but he had no idea what it was that God meant for him. And so then somehow, which we know was God, and he ended up sitting down with Tim at his table in this room of all these people, and he sat at Tim's table, and he told Tim, I don't know what God has for me. And Tim said, well, what do you do? And he said, well, he said, I'm a tower climber. And Tim said, well, then we got the job for you. And anyway, volunteer with his own plans, his own his own prayer, his own connection with his churches, all of those things voluntarily he's gone to. I can't remember how many installations around the world, but he fearlessly climbs the towers, he does his work, he's an incredible man, he's got a really good sense of humor as well, and a great beard. He's from California as well, and his name is Lasso, and he's been doing all the propagation studies for Galcom for the last few years, and he decided that he wanted to go on an installation trip. So a propagation study is to find out how high the tower needs to be, what kind of all the different things that need to go into a radio station, so that's what he's been working on. And Don Middleton is a man who actually was originally from Brantford, and he moved to Delta, BC, and he's a ham radio guy, and that's his thing. And he's really a great, intelligent computer, and an incredible man. And without that team of men, and obviously you can see that I'll see every person, but without that team of men, this station wouldn't have got in. And how God used each one of their gifts individually to install this radio station there. And many are hearing about the Word of God. So this is just a little bit more of the pictures. There's lots more of the story. They were looking for a pole. They went to bed. One day they just couldn't find exactly what they needed, and they needed a long pole. And they were kind of feeling frustrated. It was the end of the day, and the pastor said, well, if you what was the words he said about the pillow giving you wisdom?
Yeah, that's right. He said, I'll say it in Spanish. I don't know if there's any Spanish speakers here, but he said, la almohada da buen consejo, the pillow gets good advice. He said,
so they went to bed. And sometimes when we do that, it is true. Sometimes when we calm down and we just sort of allow God to kind of do his work, he does. And so then the next day, the pastor came to them and he said, I've got this long pole in my backyard. Is there anything that you would need that for? He didn't know that that's what they were looking for. And it was exactly what they were looking for. So they were able to do the installation. And just how God provides when you're in a situation where you don't have everything you need. Heard that story like over and over again. So if you want to be involved in Galcom, there's Galcom books at the back. Please feel free to take all of the things, well, except the radio. Nothing on the table. We're happy for you to have the Galcom books if you read them, all of those things. And you can pray for Galcom. There's prayer calendars there, volunteering in Hamilton, and giving, and going on a trip. If you have some skills and you'd like to go on a trip, we'd love to help you.
And as far as the volunteering, I mean, it takes all kinds of people. We mentioned the Fenimas coming in and working between Christmas and New Year, but they also volunteer the time for our volunteer appreciation Christmas dinner for 2 years as well. And so, you know, using that side of their ability to cook, I mean, you probably maybe taste of some of their food is pretty good. If you haven't, you need to. But anyway, so, you know, and it might be others that might, you know, we've got people that come in and fold things, we've got people that come in and just put labels on. So, you know, if you're ever looking for something to do, God uses us all. Like Bob, he went to the missions conference not knowing what he could do. He wasn't a pastor, he wasn't a teacher. He was a tower climber, but, you know, God uses tower climbers too, and he's made each one of us individually, uniquely. And he wants to use the gifts that we have. You don't have to aspire to be somebody else in order for God to use you. But no, he uses us just in how we are. So anyway, at this time, I'd like to share something from the Word. Tower climbing lessons. So how many of you thought that you might get tower climbing lessons when you came to church this morning? How many of you would like to be a tower climber? Oh, yes, at least we have one. It's usually one, but most people prefer to stay on the ground. And, you know, Shelly's here, so I'm not telling any secrets to her. Standing on a chair is about as high as she ever wants to get. But no, I'm not going to talk to you about how to climb towers this morning, but more about what I have as someone that does climb towers. You'll notice here the verses I have written down here. I've got two. The first one is from Matthew 16:25, where it says, whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. And then the second verse, I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. John 10:28. So just be thinking about those verses a little bit. If you want to save your life, you lose it. And if you want to lose your life for him, then you will find your life. So, that being said, tower climbing, you know, it's not for everyone, but, and I'm not the happiest when I'm up the tower. I have to say, as someone that climbs towers, I'm always happier when I get down and get off the tower and the work's done. When I was a child, I was not afraid of heights at all. You can probably tell I was born in England, still have a bit of an accent. I've been here since 1977, so 45 years, but yeah, some people say you sound like you got off the boat yesterday. But in England, as a kid growing up, we built a tree house in a tree. It was about 20 feet off the ground, and I was 12 or 13 years old at the time. And but one day, when I was climbing up this treehouse, this is the England connection, November 5th, they have a celebration. It's kind of barbaric, but you don't realize that when you're a kid. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. But they have this guy that used to, actually a guy, funnily enough, his name was Guy Fawkes, and he tried to blow up the Houses of Parliament back in the 1600s. He was actually hooked in with the Puritans and everything, and he thought it was his duty to get rid of the government at the time, and they caught him and burned him at the stake. And so anyway, they have set out on November the 5th. So they have this thing, and for weeks, kids go around and they collect wood and fuck for the fire and make these great big high bonfires. They get old clothes and stuff them with newspapers and put this mannequin that's supposed to represent Guy Fawkes up on the fire. And everyone does it. So right here, we celebrate fireworks, but most of the time we get together in a safe place and watch the firemen or whoever set off the fireworks. Well, there, everyone did it in their own backyards. So to get a better view of what was going on, I climbed up into the top of this treehouse, and I was on the roof looking all over the village where we came from, and this was pretty impressive. And then I came to climb down the rope that I had put up to, but me and my brother and a friend had put up about a year, 2 years earlier, and the knot came undone, and I'm 20 feet in the air. And all I remember is just going backwards, and below me there were fence posts, everyone's yard all ended there, and a pile of rocks. And I was 12 years old, and only half as big as I am now, but there was a bush about the size of this pulpit area, probably about that high, and I landed in it. And it just broke my fall. And miraculously, I was winded. I couldn't breathe for a minute, but I got up and was able to walk away. So, and as a younger child, I remember when I was 4 years old, getting stuck up a tree about half a mile down the road and having to send my younger brother, who was about 3 and a half, I was probably 5, to go and get Dad to get me down out of the tree because I was stuck. All of these things just give you an idea of the fact that I wasn't somebody that was afraid of heights, but because of my fall, I began to have a respect of heights. So then again, fast forward, here we are, and on that first pic, that picture there, you can see a picture of me on my first tower with Galcom, and it was 200 feet high. And it was a guide tower. You can see the guy wires on the way down. And I got halfway up, just over halfway up the first time. And I thought, I can't do this. All of a sudden, I started to look down, take my eyes off the tower. I started to look down, and all I could picture was that fall I had. Just that, you know, falling back. And unless you've had an accident, you think they always happen to somebody else. But when you've had an accident, you realize that, you know, they can happen, and they can happen to you as well. So anyway, it took me a day or two. The following day, I went up and I was able to get to the top. And when I did, I realized that someone told me afterwards that the tower had actually fallen down in a hurricane and being rebuilt, and it was actually crooked. I got to the top, and we always put a pulley on the top to pull up the antennas and the equipment, and the rope was 4 feet away from the bottom of the tower at the bottom, so you could have it out of plumb by 4 feet. So I tell you that to say that, you know, those are the kind of things you encounter. Well, probably one of the hardest things, and I'm going to move over right now to the next slide, is one of the hardest things to do is to learn to let go of the tower. You want to hold on with your hands for all it's worth because you feel secure when you're holding on. It's like if you've ever been in a position where you think you're going to fall, you just want to hold on to something. And it's hard. Of course, when you're climbing the tower, you have to trust the equipment that you're wearing. You have to learn that your equipment is stronger than you are. Your hands, the harness is strong and tested for hundreds of pounds, whereas your hands are weak. The harness is, as I just said, that is tested for hundreds of pounds, but our hands are weak. And yet, if you want to, in order to work, you have to lean back and trust your equipment, and you're looking at everything, and you know, and trust that the tower that you're hooked into is solid. Because remember, I've had that feeling of falling away and not knowing what's down, and so to lean away rather than to hold on is not something that we find easy. Second thing is that we feel secure when we're holding on. But getting back to that verse again, we're actually most secure when God is holding us. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 to 11 here. And just read those for you. The new Bible, so if I take a second one, the pages are a little bit sticky. Hebrews 4, verses 9 to 11. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us therefore take every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will fall by following their example of unbelief. So there remains a rest for the people of God. But how do we find that rest? How do we find that rest? We find that rest by ceasing from our own works and our own labor and placing our faith and our trust in God. And just as I wanted to hold on to that tower with my own hands, the fact of the matter is that my hands can make mistakes. I can make bad choices. I could grab a hold of something that wasn't safe, or I could step on something that wasn't safe, and I could fall very easily. And I think as human beings, often we make mistakes. Why? Because we're trusting our own wisdom instead of the wisdom of God. Or we want to do things our way instead of allowing God to have control over our lives. We want to be in control and maybe allow God in a little bit. But God says, no, I don't want you to just let me in a little bit. I want to hold you. I want to be the one who directs you. I want to be the one who is being used through you in a way that you don't even understand. But you're not letting me in. You're not trusting. You're still holding on to this world. You may be sitting on the fence a little bit, or you haven't learned. And I think we all can identify this. I know I certainly can. And this is why I said I'm going to teach you lessons that I have learned, really, from climbing towers. It's not that we're being bad or anything else, but we've never really learned to trust our equipment, or in this case, to trust God. Our hand harness is made for our safety. God is there for our safety. No one can snatch us out of the Father's hands. And yet we think that we're safe when we're in our hands. And thank you, Lord, I'm in control. And I'm going to do it my way. But no, God says, no, it's not your way. Your way is not my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither my ways, your ways. Because as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. The ways of God are so much higher than our ways. Second insight is that the harness is also freeing. The harness is also freeing. When you get up to the top of the tower, your job is not to hold on to the tower. Just stay there and see how long you can stay holding on to the tower. No, you climb the tower with a purpose. And the purpose is that you have to hang things on. You have to mount antennas. You have to mount brackets. You have to mount the cable, attach the cables. But in order to do that, guess what? Your hands have to be free. You can't be using your hands to hold onto the tower, because if your hands are holding onto the tower, you can't do the work that you're supposed to be doing. So this is the second insight, that the harness is freeing. It frees us to be able to do the work that God has called us to do. If we're, and it's the same thing in our lives, if we're holding on to the stuff, you know, and the more stuff we have, the more we have to hold on to, and the more we have to fix, and the more that we worry about someone stealing it, and all of these kind of things, if we're holding on to the stuff and holding on to our own lives, then guess what? We're not free to serve one another. The Bible tells us there's so much, pray for one another, care for one another. And you could probably come up with them a whole load more of the one another's. But if we're so worried about holding on to my stuff and doing my things, guess what? We can't do God's work, because we're not even seeing it. But if we can allow ourselves to be placed in God's hands, then all of a sudden we're relaxed. We don't have to sustain ourselves. We don't have to maintain what we have anymore, because we can trust that God is going to do that. And I'm not advocating just letting your house, letting everything fall apart, because God will take care of it. But no, the idea of the rest here is saying, God, I know that the stuff that I need to do, I know that the stuff that, and I'm overwhelmed, and I don't sometimes know which foot to put forward next. But God, you do. I want to place what I have, my problems, my needs, my necessities in your hands, and trust you to supply for me. And by doing that, then I'm free to be able to look at the others around me who also may need my care. You know, have you ever thought about a church? You know, Paul uses the analogy, some are eyes and some are ears, some are hands, some are feet, and you know, we all have parts to play in the church. I mean, as I mentioned, when we're volunteering, we've all got different gifts. But the idea is that a nose by itself is no good. Eyes by themselves are no good. Ears by themselves are no good. A heart by itself is no good. And whatever your gift might be, by yourself, it's not very good. But together, working together, we can do amazing things. We're the body of Christ. Of course, he is our head. But if he's going to be our head, we have to allow him to be the head. We have to allow him to lead. We can't be the head ourselves. Hang on, I'm in control. But no, let the head be the head. And then as the head is the head, then whether you're a hand or a foot or an eye or a mouth or whatever it is, God can use you not just to serve one another, but to serve the community around you, because you've rested from your own works and you've crossed, as it were, into the rest that God has for you. And in that place of rest, you're able to reach out and supply the needs of others, as Christ desires to do through you. So, application, am I holding on to my life? Are you holding on to your life? Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. Is God holding on to me? And then the answer to that is, I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. The safest place to be is in God's hands. And let's just bow, shall we? At this time, for a word of prayer. Father, I thank you that Lord, you use us the way we are, whether we're tower climbers, bakers, handymen, computer experts, radio experts, preachers, teachers, good with kids, good with there's so many different things that we're all different, and yet, Lord, you've made us unique, because that you are a God that loves diversity. And Father, today we're all together, and I don't know really that many people, but I know that we come from different homes and we come from different upbringings. Some of us may come from different countries. Some of us may come from different parts of Canada. But God, you've brought each one here together today because you have a purpose for us to be together and to encourage one another. And I thank you for Wash Baptist Church. I thank you for the way that they are known for proclaiming the Word of God faithfully and seeking to hold to the truth of your Word. And I pray, Father, that you would bless this group of people. Pray that you would bless the ministry here. Pray that your hand would be upon the pastor and his two boys as they head to Ottawa. And we'll give them safety on the roads and the drivers around them, that they would be safe as well. And for his wife as she goes on ahead with the van, I pray, Father, that you would just keep them all safe. And Father, thank you for this opportunity to be here. And to be blessed by getting to know one another and to be able to glorify you together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So yeah, before I get down, just thank you from Shelley and me, from Galcom, and also from the millions of people around the world who have still not heard about Jesus Christ. And one thing about our, we call these our missionaries, they never come home. So yeah, that's probably why a lot of people don't know who Galcom is, because they don't know the Galcom missionaries. We send them out and they don't come back. But really, they are a missionary, because many of them, how many of you would like it if you had your pastor in your house with you every day? Probably don't answer that question. But it is a blessing to be able to have them, to have preaching. And also, I should mention, each one of these radios also, where possible, has the Bible on, an audio Bible as well. So it's a radio and it's an audio Bible. And the reason we say from the millions of people, there are millions of people who have heard the Word of God and have been blessed through. We could have told you so many stories, and maybe if we ever come back and you want us back, we can tell you more stories. But come and see us at the back. And if you're, any of the books are free, like Shelley said, take anything except the radios or audio. Okay? Thank you very much.
Thank you.